Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, Irish energy bills are now more than €500 higher than in other EU countries. This is according to new figures from Eurostat. The body responsible for statistical comparisons amongst European countries revealed that household electricity prices increased in 10 EU states and decreased in 15. That's in the first half of this year compared with the same period last year. Well, for more on this, I'm joined on the line now by Billy Kelleher, Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South, and Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin MEP for Dublin. And you're both welcome to the programme. Billy Kelleher, first to you, why is it, do you understand, that the prices in the first half of 2024 showed the sharpest increase in Ireland? So they were up by 37%. And if we look at the largest decrease that happened in the Netherlands, prices were down by 29%. Like, people would be left scratching their heads. Do we know why?
Well, as long as we're completely dependent on imported fossil fuels and that we have to take the price that's on the market for gas, oil and coal, and the fact that we don't have enough indigenous generation on the island of Ireland, that is the main problem that we have. And until such time as we increase our capacity in wind energy and in the electricity generation in general, that's not dependent on fossil fuels, well, then we will always be very dependent on the international markets. And at the moment, gas, oil and coal are very expensive. And we don't have any connectivity to the European grid as well. You know, we're very dependent on what happens in the UK market. So until such time as we have greater connectivity through the UK into Europe and from Ireland directly to Europe, well, we will always be at the tail end in terms of electricity prices and generation.
Okay, Lynn, do you agree with that? We're overly reliant on fossil fuels and overly reliant on the UK market.
Absolutely, and given what we're seeing in Spain, it's absolutely essential that we move to renewables to tackle climate change. But if you look at the breakdown of the energy mix in the Netherlands, it's very similar to Ireland. So they're also very heavily reliant on fossil fuels. So that doesn't explain why Ireland is so expensive when it comes to electricity. And in fact, when you look at that Eurostat report, what's really interesting is that Ireland is also the second highest in terms of households paying for the cost of transmission and distribution. So that's your network tariffs that you'd see on your bill. We're second highest in the EU, whereas if you look at the Netherlands, they're a lot lower. So there are structural changes that the government could do to bring down the cost of electricity for households and for small businesses. For example, the network charges increased by, I think it was around €140 per year. So effectively wiping out one of the energy credits straight away. So what Sinn Féin is calling for is that you'd have that structural reform so that your large energy users, who have been subsidised for over a decade now by households and small businesses in terms of those network costs, that now needs to be reversed. And those companies that are very profitable would be subsidising households and small businesses, which we can see from the arrears data of the regulator, are the ones who are really struggling at the moment.
Okay, so it's a little more then, Billy, than reliance on fossil fuels in the UK market. It's the network fees, which we know make up a third of the overall price that we pay. Then we have, as Lynn said there, the decision by the energy regulator to increase the network charges for electricity to households. So these are areas that we can control and we're not.
Well, there are areas we can control, but they also cost money. And I mean, like Lynn is making a very simple comparison, but the fact of the matter is the Netherlands is a quarter the size of the island of Ireland with a population of 18 million people. So, I mean, their transmission costs are a lot lower per kilometre of line transmission or by megawatt hour transmission than Ireland. So, I mean, it is the fact that we are very dispersed as well. These are all additional factors that cost us a lot of money in terms of moving electricity around the island. And on top of that, as we develop offshore wind energy, we will have to invest huge sums of money on the grid and on the network to upgrade it so that it can transport electricity around the island. But until such time as we increase our capacity of generation and try to wean ourselves off gas and coal and oil, well, we will always be at the high end due to the fact of the gas prices being so high.
So you're saying we need the PSO, the Public Service Obligation Levy, we need the higher network fees in order to get to a point where the prices can come down. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Claire, I mean, if we decided, as we intend to do, to develop offshore wind energy, we have to transmit that electricity from where it's generated to where it's needed. predominantly will be generating on the West Coast, but will be primarily needed on the East Coast. Now, I mean, the only way you can transmit that is by overhead lines or by transmission lines. They cost money. We need to upgrade it. Like, we can't be pretending that there's easy options here. I mean, Lynn is making very simple comparisons. I can remember only a couple of years ago when you were above Mayo objecting to us finding bringing gas ashore, which would help to decrease our dependence on imported gas. We're still importing huge volumes of gas every year.
No, Lynn.
Look. Let's keep it real and let's keep it factual here. I'm just making the point that we are very dependent on gas. We did find gas off the west coast of Mayo. It took us a prolonged period of time to bring it on shore. We're still using some of it, but the vast majority of our generation is coming from imported gas. We also had people objecting to, for example, the development of electricity generation capacity in Tarbert or in the Foyne's Estuary, I should say. And like the idea that we can continue to generate electricity without actually developing the infrastructure is a bluff, is a cod. We have to increase capacity, and that costs money.
Lynn, what do you say to that? Because I mean, if we are to increase our capacity when it comes to wind and so on and renewable sources, it does have to be paid for and does have to be transported, right?
It absolutely does. And Billy's comparison again doesn't stack up with the evidence. Is he really saying that Sweden and Finland and countries that have very long, elongated geographically are going to be more expensive to have
Billy,
you had a good run there now.
We need investment
in the grid. Of course we do, Claire. The issue is who is paying for the investment. And what we're saying is that Ireland is an outlier in that households and small and medium enterprises are the ones who are subsidising the large energy users. So that's the first thing that could change, and that would bring us in line with other European countries. Secondly, the thing around the renewable energy, absolutely support renewable energy. We've been calling for faster and more affordable energy production for years now. And one of the things that the energy companies in renewable energy, particularly wind, are telling us is grid connections are completely out of kilter with the EU average. So it's much more expensive to get a connection to the grid. The planning system is delayed. It's not resourced properly. There are not enough planners to make the decisions effectively and quickly enough so that they're factoring in that as a cost to renewable energy. So even in the renewable energy auctions, which we know is cheaper than fossil fuels, we still have the highest prices in the EU for producing renewable energy. And it's because of the structural reform has not taken place. And secondly, what Billy Kelleher didn't do in his government was they didn't introduce a windfall tax until the really, really significant windfall profits were already banked by the energy companies. Sinn Féin would reform the market so that if we ever see a spike like we did in 2022, a windfall tax would kick in straight away to protect households. So it's about political choices. It's about who's paying for that grid infrastructure. And we know those large energy users are making it much, much harder for us to reach our climate targets because we're more reliant on fossil fuels because of energy demand. So what we need to do is we need those large energy users to have to pay their fair share.
Maybe Lynn isn't suggesting that those companies close down, but maybe they should pay more.
Well, I mean, the idea that we would continually object to data centres, for example, is a very simplistic view again. I mean, Ireland is trying to develop itself as a technological hub across the globe. Data centres will be a significant part of that. And the idea that we would shrink our economy to fit into what we're generating, in my view, is undermining the future of this country. We have to be brave and we have to be ambitious. And
You're justifying the cost of increasing bills for households, Billy.
As you said earlier on,
the PSO levy is subsidising, is paid for regressively by households and small businesses, disproportionate amount compared
PSO
to data centres and large energy
wind,
users.
The PSO is subsidising wind energy.
Okay.
No, but let me keep it real here. The PSO is subsidising wind energy. So in the event
has said it is regressive and that it needs to be reformed so that households and small and medium businesses are not paying a disproportionate
amount. Billy, go ahead. Go on. Say what you want to say there.
I mean, the idea that we would shrink the economy to fit into what we are generating in terms of electricity is just not ambitious, and it would actually jeopardise the future of the country. So we have to increase...
I just don't think Lynn Boylan is saying that. She's saying that the large energy users should pay more, not reduce what they're using.
But But Claire, I mean, if we do not increase the capacity, everybody will be paying more. Everybody, households and companies, we will make our economy less competitive. We can't just keep burdening households and businesses with additional costs. It will undermine the capacity and competitiveness of the economy. We live in a globalized world. We live in a globalized world. We're competing with every other country in Europe and across the globe as well. Mm-hmm. So we have to remain competitive. And at the moment, our electricity prices, both for households and for industry, are simply not competitive. That means increasing our capacity to generate. And in the meantime, that does require us using gas. We can't just wean ourselves off gas today or tomorrow. And you're comparing countries like Sweden and Finland. They're both nuclear power countries. They're both countries that have huge capacity in hydroelectric. But if you look at the countries that are comparable with Ireland, you know, they simply have more access to cheaper electricity because they're connected to the European grid.
Lynn Boylan, go ahead.
The evidence doesn't stack up what Billy's saying. Nobody, he's completely throwing out a straw man argument here. What we're saying is that if we had to build our grid capacity, we all agree we need to do that. We all agree we need to have more renewable energy. The issue is who is disproportionately paying the cost of that, and it's households and it's small and medium businesses. And when you look at the arrears from the CRU, we see that it's households and small and medium businesses who are the ones who are really struggling. So all we're asking is that we now do what we did for those large energy users after the crash. We subsidised them by €600 million for a decade. Households and small businesses subsidised large energy users.
We need to leave
that
there.
We're just asking now for a bit of fairness.
Listen, thank you both very much. Lynn Boylan and Billy Kelleher, both MEPs. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.